Hello and welcome to Top of Mind Florida. I'm Michael Williams.
And I'm Brian Crowley.
Good to have you with us. We're going to be talking everything from AI today. And one day it's going to rule the world. The next day it's not going to work at all. We'll have an AI expert in here today, Brian. It'll be fun. We'll have a wonderful political mind. You and I have talked about her a lot. Melissa McKinley coming along, former Palm Beach County Commissioner. What else we got?
Yeah, our next four episodes I think are going to be great. So we have lots of interesting people. Taylor Morgan, who has an organization that looks out for people working in restaurants. Mm-hmm. And we have Dave Lawrence, the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County. And, he's a terrific guy. And there's some issues that are impacting the arts community throughout the state. And he'll talk a little bit about that.
Give us a top of mind thought you might have before we jump in
well,
with Melissa McKinley.
This may be a little shocking to people out there, but Michael made it to the top 20. Melissa and I didn't. I know it's a little shocking, but you did. You made it to the top 20.
The Gators?
No, please. First off, let's deal with the Gators right now. You're just talking to a Noel over there, our guest, Melissa McKinley.
All right. With that entree, we'll bring in Melissa McKinley right now. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being with us on Top of Mind Florida. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's good to be back with you two.
Even if he's a Gator.
She'll ignore that.
My boss is a Gator. I have to like him.
I had her on my To the Point broadcast with you on WPTV for many years, and she put up with me. Melissa McKinley, good to have you here. Now, VP for Governmental Relations, Palm Beach County Commissioner for many years, 2014-2022. You were also at one point president of the Florida Association of Counties, a broad, varied background in regional and Florida politics. First, tell us briefly, WGI, what's it about? And then give us your top of mind for the Florida political scene.
Well, WGI is a national engineering firm. Mm-hmm. And so they were born in Palm Beach County. Joel Wattman founded the company about 50 years ago. His son Dave took it over. When I first met Dave in 2014, they had one office in West Palm Beach. They now have 25 offices nationwide. So all things land use on the private side and engineering and architectural design. And I was brought in to help grow their public project portfolio. And so I'm getting to do government relations all across the country and particularly in the states where we've got operations. So it's been fun.
All right. Now it's a chance to pick your political brain. What's top of mind for you right now across the region, across Florida, on the political scene as we dive in?
Well, I think on the Florida scene across the state would be, what is Tallahassee going to do with the budget? And how are they going to overcome some of the hostility between the legislature, particularly the House, and the governor's office? And are they going to do sales tax? Or are they going to do property tax? In my experience, particularly being president of the Association of Counties, I'm a big fan of local government, and it seems that the state's answer to cutting taxes is always to go after property tax and not go after their own sales tax. And so I think that they need to find a balance. And I think a lot of folks in Tallahassee and the legislature forget that those property taxes are what pay, particularly the firefighters, the teachers, and the law enforcement officers that Tallahassee always says they support. So that's top of mind right now, is how they close the budget in the next 30 days.
So what would be the impact if they reduce property taxes for counties and local governments throughout the state?
They'd have to raise the sales tax. You cannot completely eliminate property taxes without major implications. So if they fund everything from how you turn the water on to brush your teeth and your garbage collection, they pay your teachers, keep your schools running. You got to have somebody answer the phone when you call 911. A hurricane hits, it's the emergency operations center and all of the response for a hurricane, which we're going to see more of. And so
funding for police, first
funding
responders.
For police. And look, my daughter's a law enforcement officer right now, so making sure that she's got all the equipment that she needs and, a car that runs and a taser that's not dead and all that good stuff. I want to make sure that they're protected.
Our water supplies, our water systems, recreation.
Our libraries, our park programs, our jails, they're all, funded with property tax revenue.
So you also work for the Homeless Coalition.
I do.
So tell us about that. How did you get involved with that?
Sally Chester. For anyone who knows Sally Chester, sure. You can't say no to
right,
her.
Right, right, right.
You know, I came off the commission. She's like, so what are you doing now? And she brought me on to the coalition, and I ended up with the gavel as president of the board this past October. And it's been some challenge. We've had some challenges. We're trying to find, you know, where we fit in the county in terms of all of the different providers. And I've been doing a deep dive on the county contract and realized our purpose is to support the three homeless centers that we have, the homeless resource centers, the one in Belglade, the one on 45th Street, and the one in Mid-County down off of Lantana Road. So just, I think we're going to see more homeless. It's the values of property go up and the rents are going up.
And that's a Florida problem, not just a Palm Beach County problem.
That's a national right. problem.
But as we precisely so. And as we focus on our little piece of that world, Florida's part of that national problem. It's not regional. It's not Palm Beach County. It's not just urbanized South Florida. It's across the state.
Oh, I have a friend who bought a house in Highlands County for $250,000 less than 10 years ago who could sell his house right now for $1 million. In Highlands County. So it's not just, you know, the wealthier coastal communities where we're seeing these property value rises. It's all over Florida. And the more that happens, the more you push, you know, the workers in our community out of their homes. It's getting harder and harder for them to find a place to live.
But in terms of solutions, in terms of public-private partnerships, we can kind of trace that back to the property tax debate, because sometimes that includes the local funding to help with homeless efforts. You're a Democrat. Do you think this is a direct outgrowth of the, you know, let's cut, let's get government out of the way as we kind of square the circle here with the issues we're facing and what we see going on in Tallahassee, this effort to cut back, and some argue without appropriate amount of thinking about where we're going to find the funding?
Well, I think, yes, I do think that there's a place for where those cuts have taken place and the effect that it's had on being able to provide those services. But I also think that it is a result from this mass migration we've seen from other states into Florida, where you could sell your home in New York and all of a sudden you have a big pot of cash. Mm-hmm. You can come down here and buy a home, and going $100,000, $200,000 above asking price in your New York brain, it's still a deal. And I think it artificially inflated the values of our homes and just made it unaffordable for a lot of people.
You've also done a lot of work in rural communities, the Glades in mm-hmm. particular. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people drive past the Glades, but they don't go down the road, the side roads, and see what the Glades is really like. And there's a lot of poverty in the Glades. There's a lot of unemployment in the Glades. A pastor I know out there talks about how people will have to drive 20 miles into town for a job at a Dunkin' Donuts. In fact, one time I was having coffee with him at a Dunkin' Donuts, and the waitress, he stopped and says, "Where do you live?" And we were in Wellington. And he said, "Where do you live?" She said, "Belglade." You know, so a lot of her very small salary was being spent on gas. And yet, you know, for all the billionaires and millionaires that live in Palm Beach County and other areas where there's rural communities, why do we have so much trouble fixing the problems out there?
Well, how much time do you have?
30 minutes in this case.
You know, it's funny that you say driving down the roads. You know, my family, my dad lives in Sarasota, and so I would drive home and I would come back. I always would take different roads. I would just drive off the main road and go check things out in my district, particularly the furthest, most western reaches of the district, right there on the border of Hendry County. And I would figure out who owned the property. And oftentimes it was a farming operation, and I would call my contact at those operations and I would send them photos like this doesn't look good. This needs to come down. They're like, "Good Lord, what are you doing driving on a Sunday afternoon?" Mm-hmm. Like checking out my district, keeping an eye on you.
Doing my job.
I think, you know, it's been so remote. And people think that it's so far out there, although you're seeing property values rise out there as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the next frontier. But it's just historical. And you have to diversify your business community, your employment base out there. You've got to offer other opportunities. Historically, it's been seasonal. you know, when they're harvesting the fields and they're doing, and then you've got that seasonal workforce, and then the rest of the year they either leave and go elsewhere or they're out of a job. You've also seen where a lot of that used to be done by hand, and now a lot of it is done by machine. All of the cane harvesting now is done by machine. And so for a long time, when those jobs were lost because of you know, better technology and more efficient operations, there was nothing put in place to replace those jobs. And so that unemployment level just festered. But you're seeing, you had TELUS come in, you've got FinFrock out there, you've got a couple of good operations that are coming in and trying to change that. You've got, particularly in the city of Belgrade, a real forward-thinking elected body that is investing in trying to turn around some of those neighborhoods. I went after the slumlords. That's one thing I miss about being on the commission is the ability to really go after the slumlords. But trying to clean up the housing, trying to make it dignified housing for the people who live there, anything to just beautify and increase the number and types of jobs out there. But you've got a lot of very dedicated people. I always found that the most interesting thing to me is when I was on the board of ChildNet, it's one of our foster care providers, and I used to break down the child removals by zip code. And even though the Glades had a high child removal, they didn't have a high child placement in foster care. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that the community takes care of each other. You know, an aunt would step up, somebody from the church would step up, and these kids weren't placed in private foster care. It's a sense of community in the Glades. They take care of each other. And I just, whatever they do to modernize, I don't want them to lose that because it's very special.
Sure. Let me ask you about a topic that came up recently, the Southland Project, sugar interest push for, and got at least a first green light from county commissioners, a 6-0 vote to ultimately build a reservoir of their own south of Lake Okeechobee. The precursor to that will be it'd be rock mining for the next 34 years that will create the reservoir itself. A lot of environmentalists opposed it. The Glades community supportive of it. Your take on that vote and the future of the Glades?
Well, I know that some of the sugar industry is more on the Hendry County line on that side, have had that right, that land use right for rock mining. And it was always a card that they held in their back pocket in case they had to come out of cane. And what they're doing in Southland is pretty much modeling exactly what they did with the C-51 reservoir out of Palm Beach Aggregates. So it'll be 30 to 40 years before we see a reservoir operation out there. I mean, and we've got an administration in Washington right now that is roads and bridges. I mean, that's going to be their infrastructure plan. So that aggregate has to come from somewhere. I don't know how much more space they've got out at Palm Beach Aggregates to keep mining. The other big quarry is White Rock down in Miami, and I think that one is coming into its final years. So you do have to get the supply from somewhere. This one, it caught me off guard. It wasn't something in my 8 years that I'd ever had conversations with about on the Palm Beach County side of it. So it'll be interesting to see what the regulatory agencies do with this.
Working with somebody 14 years, as I did with this guy on WPTV's To The Point, I can tell in an old political hand like him, I can almost imagine a line of questioning I know that we want to pursue with you. And I think we can begin by talking about what happened recently with Jason Pizzo, former Democratic state lawmaker, learning or now saying I'm going to run for governor as
And called the Democratic Party dead.
And that threat allows my friend to begin to take where is the Democratic Party in Florida? What's going first with Pizzo? Take it away, Brian.
Is there a Democratic Party in Florida?
Yes, there is a Democratic Party in Florida. I think Florida is unique in terms of Democratic politics. You know, in most states, you've got red and you've got blue. In Florida, I think and I've had these conversations with Jason before, I think that in Florida, you've got red and you've got purple. And I think Jason's frustration grew out of the fact that he is definitely more of the purple. He's also a realist. And he knows that in order for the Democratic Party to be successful in Florida, you can't push it too far to the left. it just won't work in this state. And so I think, you know, he was trying to get his colleagues to understand that, and maybe not so much his colleagues as the party operation. And I think he just grew frustrated with it.
Define too far left.
Well, I think there are folks down in the Republican Party in Miami who would call it socialists, although I don't think any socialists really exist in Florida. But, you know, too far left to me, I'm more of a moderate. I think that you have these safety net programs in place, and you have to have them in place for a hand up when they need it. But constantly fighting for everything to be free all of the time is a little bit too far left.
What have you always argued about why the Democrats, you've covered Tallahassee for decades as a top reporter for the Palm Beach Post, and you've talked about this a lot, Brian, why you feel that Democrats have been in the cold in Florida for decades now. Pick up on that theme.
Well, it started with Jeb Bush. I would say I'm starting to drift a little bit. I'm starting to see some of the same things that I saw in the Democratic Party in the 80s and the 90s in the Republican Party now. Yeah. You're starting to see the infighting. The party gets so big, they wind up having so many sides to it. So if you go back and you look at elections for governor in the all the way from the 50s to the 90s, and not that I covered the 50s elections.
Sure, sure.
But,
we've got black and whites of them also.
But a lot of the battles were between Democrats. The Republicans were off to the side. If a Republican, you know, Jack Eckerd was, you know, who was Eckerd Drugstores mm-hmm. and was wealthy, and he eventually, I think CVS bought him out. But he ran a couple of times and always got slaughtered. And Republicans, you know, they were basically the, you know, they'd have the token candidate that would go up there. And the real battle was in the Democratic primary. I think we're starting to drift in that direction with the Republicans because the Democrats in Florida have kind of become, yeah, we know they're there, they're fine. And the real battle is becoming among Republicans. And you're starting to see in the legislature, you're seeing it with the governor. Which we had not seen before. And so sometimes the bigger the party gets, the more divisive it can become within itself. And while there's certainly a lot of division within the Democratic Party in Florida right now, they've got a long hill to climb just to get back to the kind of strength they need to really take on the Republicans.
Jason Pizzo, for those who don't know, out of Miami-Dade, says, I'll self-finance a good chunk of my campaign for governor, and he'll be able to do so, deep pockets. He'd said at one point, quote, we need somebody who can balance a checkbook, who understands finances, not just theory, who's concerned about infrastructure and the environment and education. Top of mind for people, good name, top of mind. Top of mind for people, he said, just trying to keep a roof over the head. I read in that, somebody said, the Democratic Party, and he would argue the Republicans too, have gotten away from the bread and butter issues that are really affecting people, people who can afford to live in our community. You touched on it earlier. People who worry about where their next meal's coming from, about balancing that checkbook. Do you agree that the Democratic Party is a party that looks in the mirror and says we have ourselves to blame for forgetting those bread and butter issues?
I would like to think that's the case. I call them the kitchen table issues. And I think that the Republican Party has done a really good job of pushing the Democratic Party to focus on a shiny object instead of those kitchen table issues. And they've been forced into cultural wars, and those types of conversations have taken front and center. And while I think that it's very important, I grew up in a household which was, you know, love who you want to love and be who you want to be. But that can't be the political platform in an election year in the state of Florida. And I think that the Democrats were kind of pushed into that spotlight and allowed the Republican Party to take control of the conversations on the issues that Democrats have typically led on. So it's almost like the tables were turned. But I think I said on when I was talking with you both last November, in the next election cycle, particularly in Florida, when they start blaming, you know, start pointing the finger at the problems that exist in the state of Florida, they don't have anyone to blame now but themselves. They're in charge of the White House, the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, the governor's office, all of the cabinet positions in both chambers in the legislature. So, you know, if things are still broken, who do you blame?
And why don't you jump back into the fray? Or when will you? And you and I used to talk about this. What's wrong with the Democratic Party that's not out heavily recruiting the Melissa McKinleys? Many thought at one point you were bound for statewide office. Is there a political future for you? And what's broken down where they're not recruiting either you or people like you?
I almost said a word that probably would have gotten bleeped.
Brian's got the bleep. We've got to get one of those.
We don't bleep on here anyway. So
the Republican Party is so good at building its bench, and the Democratic Party is not. The Democrats, and I've voiced my frustration with the party over the years, they do not do a good job of building those local government seats and finding a path for those local government officials to work their way up. Although I kind of think that being in local office is the highest you can get because you're the closest to the people. And then you also have people who have stayed in office for a very long time. And so you don't have those opportunities always opening up. And statewide in this state, it's very hard for a Democrat to want to run statewide. But I'm not ruling anything out. I won't say no. But what I can say right here on the record is I am not seeking to go back to my county commission seat that is up next year. I served 8 wonderful years on the county commission and worked for Palm Beach County for 13. And it was good times, but I don't care to repeat them.
That's pretty definitive.
So you're not going to be Jason's running mate?
Yeah, I would have a conversation with Jason.
Oh, okay. Tease that out a bit more. Isn't that sort of, what's the history? The odds against a non-party affiliated candidate. Yes, he argues, what is it, a fourth to a third of Florida voters identify as NPA. Right. Studies show that most people identify as NPAs when it comes to going to the ballot box. No party affiliation, correct. But that when they go to the ballot box, tend to revert back to what their longstanding party affiliation might have been. That's a long way of saying, does he really have a chance?
But I do think there's a third of the voters out there who, don't care about Republicans or Democrats. So that's why they don't register for either of those parties. I think they're turned off by both.
But have you seen them get out and vote in the kind of numbers in Florida that could make a Pizzo candidacy realistic? Of course,
they haven't had a viable candidate.
Yeah, and they'll start doing some polling too soon. And I only said that because this guy absolutely hates polls. That's the only reason I wanted to throw that in. Viable candidate.
But you have, you've got MPAs that, trust me, campaign consultants, after a primary is over and they're in a general election, your party base on the right is voting right. Your party base on the left is voting left. The fight is for those independent voters. And so you have to determine, of those two options, which one is the best. They've never had a solid third-party candidate. And so if anyone can do it and attract the disgusted Republicans and the disgusted Democrats and win that independent vote, it's Jason.
What's your history of coverage say about that, Brian?
I'm not sure history applies anymore because
we're rewriting it.
Well, I mean, everything about us has changed so dramatically, whether it's social media or everything else. Would I say that the odds for Jason winning as an independent are extreme? Yes,
right.
They are.
I would agree.
And even if he's got $100 million to spend, it's still a long shot. And frankly, if he wants to do that, he needs to do it today. announce he's running, form his party, start spending money, recruiting people. If you look at it on the Republican side, Byron Donalds is rapidly moving forward to win the Republican nomination.
Yeah, but don't forget, the legislature did not sign EDI.
True.
They extended session, so Jason can't raise any money. He can't really do anything. So
he could resign from the Senate.
I wouldn't resign from the Senate if I were him.
The Republicans have an overwhelming majority in the House and Senate. Democrats don't even need to show up. They can't accomplish anything. So,
he still has the constituency to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to do casework in his office. He's still fighting for the appropriation projects that he has in the budget. So
you'd like to keep some of those Democrats from your former party still in your tent and not tick them off completely.
Right.
I guess as we begin to wrap up here, half hour goes fast, and it does, and we could sit and talk with you about this forever. Final top of mind thoughts you want Floridians, not just Palm Beach County residents, but as we talk to our entire state, final top of mind issues that you want people to be keen on and thinking about in the coming months.
I think some of these cuts, you know, I just spent a week in Washington, and the vibe in Washington is much different than I've ever felt before. Just a lot of uncertainty in the air. And I believe that as we start seeing the effects of some of these cuts in federal funding, particularly when you talk about the homeless coalition, mm-hmm. cuts to those types of life-saving services, we're going to have to, local governments in the state are going to have to figure out how to make up the gap. How we do that in the conversation of this budget battle we're having in Tallahassee, that'll be top of mind.
You're now going to be treated to the Crowley Closer, which was a mainstay of To the Point for many years.
14 years.
As we worked together. And first of all, we want to thank you for being here. You're always such a thoughtful voice. We appreciate you taking time to be on one of our first editions. We're just getting the ball rolling on Top of Mind, Florida. We really appreciate you being aboard, Melissa McKinley.
Thank you.
WGI VP for Government Relations, former Palm Beach County Commissioner, always a thoughtful voice in the county, Palm Beach County, the Democratic Party, and possibly, I'm intrigued about where she may
Lieutenant
go.
Governor. I hear the position's open right now anyway. So.
And now the famous Crowley Closer.
Well, I'm glad you dressed so fancy today because you did make the top 20.
Gators,
Melissa
right?
and I did not make the top 20.
Yes.
You came in, no, please, you came in 18th.
As what?
Melissa, you came in, I'm sorry to say, 378th.
Okay.
I'm 301.
Right.
The top baby poll. Names in 2024.
Right. Yeah.
You, Michael, was 18, Melissa, 378, and Brian, 301. It's not a poll.
Oh, no.
Social Security Administration
okay.
gets the records of baby names. And the number one names for 2024 were Liam for boys and Olivia for girls.
All right.
That's good. I have a niece, Olivia, who's a Gator, by
but
the way.
But Michael, hang in there for the top 20.
That's right. And I've got a grandson turning one, so I'm going to be out of here for a birthday party soon. Brian, always great to have you aboard with your political perspective and background. A real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Promise you'll come back.
Promise.
We'll look forward to it. And that wraps up this edition of Top
exactly.
of Mind and Florida.
Better luck with our names next year.
Yeah. That's okay. It makes us unique.
Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you.